Welcome to NHL Draft Class, your number one place for 2020 NHL draft news and information. This is the home edition. We're recording this on Thursday, April 9th. I'm Adam Kimmelman here with Mike Morial in spirit rather than in person. How are you, Mike?
Very good, Adam. Unusual times for sure. I hope you and yours are healthy and safe. We're doing our best here. You know, I got my two cups of coffee each morning, so we're doing well. And I must say, Adam, that, you know, the funny thing, it's been eye-opening to watch my daughters enter the kitchen, pour their own cups of coffee, looking at me and saying, "Hey, Dad, time for the Java." I'm sure it's been busy at your household as well.
It is, and I'm glad that your family is following in the over-caffeinated tradition. It must be wonderful to be quarantined at your house.
For sure, for sure.
Big week with the final rankings from NHL Central Scouting coming out. Rimouski forward Alexis Lafreniere, number one ranked North American skater. Tim Stutzel from Mannheim in Germany's top pro league, number one on the international rankings. We're going to get to Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting. He's going to go in-depth on the final rankings, how they were put together, how they were able to order all these guys. But yesterday, Mike, you had the chance to host a couple of calls with the scouts from NHL Central Scouting and some of the top prospects for the 2020 draft. Why don't you tell people how that went and what that was all about?
Yeah, it was great to host the two calls for the scouts. We were able to get in Dan Marr, director of NHL Central Scouting. We were able to get in David Gregory, one of the scouts and senior managers there, and then JF Danfous, regional scout for the Maritimes and the Quebec League. And then we got the top four prospects on a call that followed that first one. So the thing that really stuck out to me, Adam, was that, you know, Central really did their due diligence in pulling this all together to produce the final rankings for North America and international players. I feel, and I'm sure you would agree, that EJ McGuire and Mr. Jim Gregory would be very proud of what Central was able to pull off here. I mean, the Bureau continues to help member clubs despite the postponement of the scouting combine. Interviews being done electronically. The Bureau is keeping up with the medicals. And a lot of those testings, you know, were conducted at the CHL Top Prospects game and the All-American Prospects game. So Dan Marr did tell me that test results for 75 of the top 100 prospects are on the North American list. So they have done their due diligence there. And all this, Adam, for a draft that we all consider to be pretty dynamic and bountiful with real talented players here.
Yeah, Mike, it's a deep draft. It's a strong draft. And if anybody happened to miss those video conference calls on Wednesday, you can watch them on NHL.com. Also, it's a little NHL draft class bonus content. We're going to put the audio feed from those calls in the podcast feed. So hit that subscribe button and they will pop up on your favorite mobile device for you to enjoy at your leisure. That's why it's so important to hit that subscribe button for NHL draft class to keep up with all the 2020 NHL draft news. Going to bring in Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting to go through the rankings. Dan, thanks for joining us. It's not ideal times right now, but how are you? How's the family handling all that's going on?
Well, these are unusual times for everybody. I'm right downtown Toronto, so I find everybody's being very respectful of the restrictions and respectful of each other, following the rules. It's just different. My mother turned 88 on March 18th, you know, that was like a week into this. And so, you know, you're just not allowed to go and have those personal moments with your families and that, but she's isolated and doing well and getting everything she needs. So can't have any complaints. Just thankful that everybody's safe and well.
Yeah. So glad to hear about your mom there, Dan. Dan, can you give us an idea what it was like conducting the final rankings via video conference for the first time in 44 years at Central? I'd imagine you were pretty proud of the effort by all the scouts during the unusual times here.
It changed our format a little bit. Typically, we like our travel day for the guys was to come in on March 23rd to start our meetings, and the season's ended March 22nd. So typically we would scout right up until that last day, just get that one last view. So we missed the last 10 days of scouting, didn't get that final look at a player. And a lot of time guys are just in their home turf and get that one last look. So we missed out on that. But we do have a lot of good coverage during the season. So it didn't have a negative impact. And doing the meetings online was pretty seamless. What we found, and going forward, if we do this, it was helpful if you had a second device to look at, because your main screen has to be the moderator's screen, and that's the person that's kind of in control of where the player moves on the list, adding a player to the list. And the only thing that would be not in favor of doing it that way is that you do miss that social interaction, those little sidebar discussions when you have a break, when you break for lunch or have dinner, or just sit around and just talk about the player. So you miss that additional dialogue. But not having had to go to games and starting the meetings later, it gave our guys like almost 2 weeks to where they could just sit, read reports, look at video. So the advanced preparation for the meetings themselves, there was a lot more time put into it, and it really, you could see how it really paid off because our meetings moved along really, really fluidly.
Dan, Alexis Lafreniere was the number one guy on the North American scouting list. On the video conference he did with the NHL on NHL.com on Wednesday, he said he patterns his game, or tries to pattern his game, after Patrick Kane. Do you see that as an apt comparison, or is there someone else in the NHL that he reminds you of?
I can see where he could find that resemblance to the style of play and a pattern. The thing with Alexi is he has a swagger about him, but I'm saying that in the most respectful and most positive way, like with no negative connotation to it. And he just has this approach. So he's got a bit of the Kane swagger. He's got a bit of the Kane skills, the quickness, the ability to rise to the occasion. But I still like the fact that in his game, he's got a little bit more of a physical edge than a lot of these smaller skilled guys. And, you know, I liked earlier in the conversation there, like Malkin in his prime, I thought was an apt comparison. And even today, just the way Leon Draisaitl approaches the play, he's got that size strength asset that he uses to go to the net and to win those battles and to be in position. And then, you know, naturally he's got the skills and smarts to complement that.
Dan, Marco Rossi and Jack Quinn are the Ottawa 67s, numbers 6 and 7 in the North American ranks. What do you like about each of these players? You know, Quinn was one that really moved up the ranks as the season was progressing. 52 goals, nothing to sneeze about. And also, why is Rossi ahead of Quinn with that 6th rank?
When we were getting to that stage there, you're talking about like elite players. We have 8 full-time staff members. And every time you would kind of do a vote, it would be like 4-4. And you would have more discussion and you'd go around. And after the top 3 or 4 kids in this draft, those next 4 or 5, they really can be in any order. Like, I guarantee you on a lot of lists, you know, Jack Quinn would be number 4, number 5 on the North American list. He's in elite company, like with the Stamkos and Tavares and Lindros and scoring 50 goals in your draft year. And there's just a dynamic part of him where he's just driven. And he's driven on the offensive side, yet he's a good two-way player and he's a good competitor. Now, Marco Rossi, he's the top scorer in the entire Canadian Hockey League. And just his he's got the skills, but he's just got the craftiness to his game. And he's not a big player, and he's found a way to where he doesn't put himself in situations where size becomes a factor. So just his vision and his playmaking ability set him apart. If you want to project down the road, now he's got to play game in, game out against the higher skill set of players at the NHL level. He's not going to get much bigger. He's in a boat where, you know, Quinn could very easily go ahead of him in the draft. But skill, hockey sense is such a big part of scouting and projection in today's game that, like I said, every time we took a vote, it ended up being 4-4. And we just did it. At the end of the day, like I said, the teams are going to decide. The players are in the right range, and this is where we anticipate that we'd recommend they be considered.
The list has four defensemen in the top nine. Jamie Drysdale from Erie is at number 3. Jake Sanderson from the U.S. national teams at number 4. Caden Gooley from Prince Albert at number 8. And Braden Schneider at number 9. How difficult was it for you and the group to rank those guys, to put them in an order? And is there anything specific that one of them does that puts him ahead of the others?
Well, Jamie Drysdale is in that elite category. And there really wasn't, like Jake Sanderson at number 4, Jamie Drysdale always ended up ahead of him whenever we had any of our discussions. But Jake Sanderson went from 11 to 4. And when we first did our first couple of run-throughs on the list, he was behind a group of the forwards there. And as our discussion went on, we get the list. The question we asked during our meetings at some point, if you're a team, you're sitting at the draft table, and the GM says, or when you're putting your list together, the GM says, all right, we got a pick in the top 5 here. I want to, who's the best guy to build the team around? And when we get through the top 3 or 4 players, when we start looking at those other names, I think it's like 7 out of 8 of the guys said they would want to build their team around Jake Sanderson. So when we started to go around there, you know, he just ended up moving up higher. So it is a big jump, but we like to refer to it more as an adjustment. And it was well earned. His play in the second half, he continued to get better, to lead his team both offensively, leadership wise, defensively, played in all situations, gets the job done. So, you know, part of part of what gets taken into account when you look at our list, it's a resource for the NHL clubs, but it's more often used just to stimulate discussion amongst the teams, where they would say, well, why did this guy go from 11-4 on Central's list? Because ours is the only list they see. They don't see the others. And I know oftentimes if there's somebody on their staff that hadn't been winning the votes, well, then it just gives him a little more ammunition to maybe speak up a little bit on behalf of players like Jake Sanderson.
Dan Sanderson is one of 3 NTDP players among the top 31. What can you tell us about the 2 others, both centers, Ty Smolanik, number 24, and Thomas Bordalo at number 29?
Ty Smolanik, he's one of these players where he's just the speed to which he plays the game. He's always going at 110%. He's first on the forecheck, first on the puck. He's just driven. And that speed allows him to be first on the play. He's got good hockey sense, good offensive instincts. He moves the puck real quick, and you know he gets his own scoring chances. So he's one of those players that can take off, go in the corners, control the play, and just make things happen every time he steps on the ice. Whereas Thomas Bordalo is more finesse type, smarter, skilled center, but he doesn't rely on the skill and finesse portion as much as he does with his smart. His anticipation and his timing is impeccable. And he's got good offensive instincts to set up and make plays, but he's also got a good finishing touch. He's a little bit of a fan favorite for our group. His uncle, Christian Bordalo, worked for many years with Central Scouting, and we were glad to see that Thomas put in such a strong year with the program.
Hey, Dan, I think a lot of fans would be curious about this next question. Center Hendricks Lapierre of Chicoutimi limited to 19 games this year because of an upper body injury, yet he proved enough to Central Scouting in past viewings to earn a number 13 ranking on the North American list. why might Hendricks have one of the highest ceilings of this draft class? It's kind of unusual, 19 games, but yet you thought of this player so highly to rank him number 13.
Well, that's part of our mandate. We've been in this position before where players have suffered injury. There's a couple other players in our first round. They didn't move much from their midseason ranking. But one of the things that gets factored in strongly in the scouting world is the performance of players at the Ivan Hlinka tournament. At the summer camp for Canada's U18 team, the conversation was all around LaPierre, Perfetti, and Byfield. And they put on a show. And then they just continued their strong play. In fact, they all enhanced their play with the Canada's team in the way they played at the tournament there. There's a history from watching them have played last year. So LaPierre has that Patrick Kane element to his game where you've got that dynamic energy, speed and quickness in which he can execute plays and read the plays. We've done a lot of follow-up with his support group, and he did suffer one concussion, but they've done a lot of treatment, a lot of rehab with him over the course of the year where they don't feel that the other setbacks that he has were concussion, but more neck-related injuries, much like if you recall what that was going on when Sidney Crosby had missed so much time. So Sidney Crosby came back better than ever. We have, we're not medical people, but you know, the information we have is that Hendricks LaPierre will be the same. He'll be back better than ever.
Dan, on that same vein, when you have a player like Hendricks or a player like Justin Barron from Halifax who missed 3 months because of a blood clot, how hard is it to determine final rankings for them and for teams when they don't have a combine where they can meet these guys or they don't have the chance to get in front of them and see them? How is the combine affecting where some of these guys who had some injury issues, who didn't play full seasons, and some guys who did play full seasons, how is not having the traditional combine going to affect, do you think, how teams kind of assess the prospects this season?
Well, we were fortunate for our group that, and I think a lot of the NHL teams, they schedule their people in to see Justin Barron when he did return to play, same with Damon Hunt. So at the end of the year, we got some good views in, and actually Justin's game, and same with Damon. They spent their time off. They able to maintain their condition. They both played well. I would say they played above expectation. So for us to slot them and rank them where we did was beneficial. When it comes for the teams, and the combine has the three segments to it, and the unseen one is the medical, which actually is the most important. It's just number one, it clears the players to do the combine testing, but you also review their full medical history. And this information is all made available to the clubs. Next, you have the interviews. And while there's no opportunities to do in-person interviews now, the NHL clubs were encouraged to continue on and do all their interviews. So they're using the various Skype and Zoom applications to where they can conduct a lot of the interviews. The fitness testing, this is something where it's a little hard for some fans to understand. It's not like the same as the NFL combine where there seems to be a lot of emphasis put on it. Our players are like 3, 4, or 5 years younger than the NFL players who've all been through college. So our players are still physically maturing. So the fitness testing just gives the team a sense of where they are in their athletic development. And it gives the strength coaches some information as to make a little bit of a projection. How much bigger, faster, stronger can we make this player? And our tests are are put in place and they're created by the strength coaches. So it gives them that information. Now, not having that information, it's a setback. But I have to be honest with you. I've been to the NFL Combine, spoke to a number of general managers and scouting directors. I'm in constant contact with our general managers and scouting directors. And at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter how they interview or how they test. It's how they perform on the ice and what they can do on the ice. And it's just one of those things. It's going to be like going back 25 years when you didn't have that type of information. So people still have their analytics to a sense, but they're just going to have to move forward without having that tool. But I say that tool is more important to the strength coaches having the fitness testing, because it just gives them a head start. If they draft the player, they know what needs to be done to improve the player's athleticism.
Dan, I think everyone's looking for that diamond in the rough. You know, you look at some of those players that could go between the second and fourth rounds. Everyone always focuses on the top guys in the rankings, but every year there's someone between maybe 20 and 50 who people might overlook. Is there someone in that range that you're really looking forward to seeing where they get picked and maybe what kind of impact they'll have down the road?
Well, I have a personal favorite. And you know, everyone that saw him liked him. We actually moved him from 90 at midseason to 54. It's a significant jump. And that's Zade Wisdom, who plays with Kingston. We just started to really pick up on his game prior to our midseason meetings. He played on a line with Shane Wright, who is going to be one of the future stars of the National Hockey League. And a lot of times you can say, well, you know, he's just putting up numbers because he's playing with one of the best players in the league. But that wasn't the case when you watched him play. This is a guy, when you say, you know, he's not afraid to go to the dirty areas. And he's willing to get down and dirty in the scrums and in the battles in front of the net. But what he's shown is that, you know, he can score. But he battles and competes. Like I say, he gets dirty. Like this is a player, if you draft him, you're going to need a lot of soap to keep him clean, because he's always mucking it out there. And I'm telling you, he's a smart player. He's 195 pounds, barely 5'11". So like, he's strong, you know, from his neck to his ankles. He's got that balance and strength to where, you know, if you try and hit him, you're likely to bounce off him. He's got that good center of gravity. So this player here, what I like about him is that he's a guy that can play the physical game, can play the down and dirty game, go to the dirty areas, but he's shown he's got the skill and the talent. Like, there's some players, they can't play with the best players in the game. They don't know how to get open. They don't know where to go or where to be on the ice. They don't have the same synchronization with the timing. And Zane has shown this, and it's going to be very interesting to see. Like, we've given him a healthy bump. A lot of teams are sitting there hoping they might be able to grab this guy in the third round, but he might not be there.
Dan, Tyson Forrester, the right wing from Barry, arguably made the biggest jump from the midterms, going up from 41 to 21. Did you guys in the group see something different in him from January to when things ended? Or was this sort of like what you said with Jake Sanderson? Was this sort of a readjustment to where, you know, for where Forrester maybe should have been?
No, I think with Tyson, you know, what came out of our meetings that all year long, he's certainly been one of the most consistent players all season long. And so he was scoring, and he, you know, at the in the first half there, he was clipping along where he was getting his chances and scoring. He's a big guy who needed to kind of, you know, a little bit of an upgrade to his skating there. But he was looking like, you know, he was just more of a finisher. But I'll be honest with you, you know, everybody's eyes got opened a little bit. You know, Barry in the first half struggled as a team, and he didn't have a lot of, you know, high-end skilled players that he was playing alongside of. But when he played with his peers, the prospects game, what stood out there, this guy's a pretty good playmaker. We might not be giving his hockey sense enough credit. And then in the second half there, everything started to come together with him, and you were kind of watching more for it. So he has the skills to be a scorer. He's got the hockey sense to be a playmaker, but his skating looked a little more fluid and improved as the season went along, and he was using his size strength asset to his advantage. So he was a pretty, like I say, he was a consistent player, but it was a pretty unanimous consent that this guy was going to move up on our list. Like, you know, this is a guy who has the power forward package.
So you mentioned the top prospects game with Forrester. He scored 2 goals. Obviously, all that game's all the best prospects in the CHL. Between that event and the World Juniors, usually those are just, I don't want to say one-offs, but, you know, the World Juniors is a little bit larger than that. But because we got stopped short of, you know, the under-18s and the CHL Playoffs Memorial Cup, in hindsight, did guys who stepped up at the top prospects game, guys who stepped up at the World Juniors, did those events maybe have more impact on the final rankings than they would in a normal season?
Well, I think that teams have always taken a measured approach in factoring in those games. But as you mentioned, because they don't have anything else to discuss, I think there was more discussion based on World Juniors and the prospect game events. But at the end of the day, everyone relates to their experience and their draft knowledge. You know, you do have to keep an even approach to it. Like Jake Sanderson, like, he was the most impressive player I've ever seen in a prospect game in the USA All-American game. Forrester, as you mentioned, had a standout game, as did some other players. And typically in the prospects game, they're never used against a player, but they'll always be used for a player because you're playing against your peer. So you're not just on the top line. There's like 4 top lines in a game. And like I say, I think the teams still take a qualified measure as to how much that should influence, but certainly the positives are always taken from it.
Dan, I know Goran Stube, who does a tremendous job as NHL Director of European Scouting, recommends those players and goalies on the international list. Can you maybe provide the fans out there some intel on a few of those first-round candidates who played overseas this season who could potentially be taken in the first round?
Well, I don't know if much more needs to be said with Stutzel. He was Rookie of the Year in the German League. Just the fact that he could play and produce, play regular minutes in that league is so impressive. He's a high-character player. And he performed well at the World Juniors with Germany. And he's one of those players that's just able to control the tempo of the game, natural speed with his skating, and just a natural playmaker. But it's those intangibles with his character and his work ethic and his compete that is what makes him so special. And then there's 2 Swedish players in his top 4 there. Alexander Holtz, he's a solid two-way forward, a strong shot, good speed, but he's got a sniper of a shot and a very good understanding of the game. So his hockey sense and his ability to score stand out for him. He put up good numbers the year before in the Sweden Junior League, but this year, as one of the younger players in Djurgården, he got limited ice time. But he stepped up his game when he played at the World Juniors. He scored a game winner in the one game. But he is a scorer. He's got the shot to prove that. Lucas Raymond, who was number 4, he's more of an explosive, dynamic forward with the skating, and he has excellent offensive instincts, strong puck control game, playmaking ability. A finesse player that with the skill set to produce. And, you know, he helped Sweden win gold at the 2019 World Junior Championships and with the U18 in Sweden. Unfortunately for him, he was on a strong team for Lunda one again in the Swedish League. And so he was kind of in and out on the lineup of one of the best teams in Sweden. So he didn't get to reach his normal standard of production in the second half. And And again, this is just more of an adjustment. It's not a knock on the player. He's still a skilled player. It's just that a couple other players like Holtz got to play more, and they were just ranked ahead of him. And the player in the middle, Anton Lundell, is a really hardworking two-way centerman who has a very strong understanding of the game with his hockey sense. There's nothing flashy about him with his skills, but he's just smart about it, and he just positively influences impacts in the game. And he's played his second season in the Finnish League as a regular player with IFK Helsinki. So all these players are playing in the men's league. They're showing that they're when they play against with their peers and against their peers, they're contributors. And again, they're all top prospects. And you know, after Stutzel, again, I think that order is up for debate.
So Dan, last one for me on the goalie list for North America. Nicholas Dawes from Guelph, the Ontario League, is number one. He went undrafted last season. I had the chance to talk to him at the top prospects game, and he really talked about how dedicating himself to being in better shape physically, off ice fitness, a real hard summer working out helped him get in better shape, and obviously it carried over. Played the World Juniors, played top prospects game. How much more noticeable was he when you and the staff watched him this season versus last season? How long did it take you guys to realize that this guy is a completely different player just because of his off-ice fitness?
Well, one thing that NHL Central Scouting does that I don't know that a lot of NHL fans are aware of is that at the start, before the start of each season, we have one of our staff go to every single team in the CHL and the USHL, and we take the players' heights and weights. We verify what their height and weight is. So right from the time we went into Guelph, it was noted that his weight had gone down almost like 35 pounds. So that, you know, that's impressive, but that tells you that the player put in a good summer. He dedicated himself to it. And then, you know, his play started off strong, and he continued his play, and our goalie specialist, Al Jensen, you know, he said, hey, I know this guy's been through the draft, but I'm telling you, he's really got his act together this year. And we know with players, when their strength and conditioning levels change, they play more confidently. And it doesn't matter what position you're playing at. And what was noticeable with Dawes was, I like to say it, when you go and watch him play, he was in the zone. He was in the zone, very focused, good concentration, sharp instincts, sharp reflexes. And he consistently displayed that all season long. It's unfortunate that we didn't get a chance to see if Guelph could have made a bit of a run for playoffs, because a goaltender can make a huge difference in playoff series. And he was primed to do that. He had never been at part of the Hockey Canada Program of Excellence, where he was with the U-17s or U-18s, or he wasn't at Canada's World Junior Camp in the summer. So even his play in the first half of the year got him the nod to participate. So like in December, it was the first time he'd ever been at a Hockey Canada camp, and that was to try out for the, you know, the elite World Junior team. And he made it. So everything he did this year just showed that he wants to be a player, and he's willing to do what's necessary. And it did show in his game.
Dan, one last one for me. At an unprecedented time in our history where we know there will be a draft but are unsure of the process, what would you be pitching as a head scout when trying to promote a particular prospect at some point in the draft?
What stands out even for us as a group even is that this year, the draft class, especially all through the first round, is really full of a lot of skilled, talented players. And some of them are in various degrees of their physical maturity, which you know, they can't stand out when they're 17 or 18, yet they will 3-4 years down the road. And what I'm finding is players are more and more playing the game the way you have to play to get to the National Hockey League, where hockey sense is so important. So skating and speed, they have to be part of anybody's game to get to the NHL. And skills are always a compliment, but you need that hockey sense. And, you know, there isn't anybody in the first round that gets there if they don't compete. But I just think what really stands out in this year is the skill quotient in all these prospects. It's pretty impressive. There's a number of players, and normally it doesn't go that deep. But, you know, the first two rounds here, there's going to be a lot of available talent for the clubs. And these are going to be players that should be able to make their lineup and play for them.
Dan Marr from NHL Central Scouting, thank you for joining us on NHL Draft Class today.
My pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.
Mike, the thing that stood out to me was, without having a traditional scouting combine, the way teams are doing things may be a little bit differently. They're still able to do the interview process virtually rather than being able to sit face-to-face with the prospects. But I think it's interesting how teams are just, they have to adjust. These are the times that we're in. Everybody has to be flexible and able to sort of reconfigure how they do things, because we're not in a traditional draft season.
For sure, Adam. This is unusual times right now. And I do think that the video conferencing with prospects is a key. And I know Dan Moore did stress that's something that, GMs and scouts can do. And they have done throughout the course of the season. So the testing, of course, we got 75 of 100 tests done at the prospects games, in the CHL game in Hamilton, Ontario, and then at the All-American prospects game in Plymouth, Michigan this season. So we still have some of the tests that came in on some of those top guys. So, you know, GMs and scouts do have that information available. And, you know, as we mentioned, the medicals are being brought in. It's not going to be the same as a normal combine, but we're making the best of this situation. I think Central Scouting is doing a tremendous job, as are all the NHL clubs, in trying to, you know, put together some type of system, some type of, you know, regulation system that works for everybody here. And the depth of this draft is unbelievable, as we mentioned. And, you know, even though that scouts didn't get that opportunity to maybe see some of these players in playoff type performances, they have enough viewings of them to make an educated decision on where they should be placed, you know, 1 through 7 in this draft for sure.
And I think, you know, and I kind of alluded to a little bit when I asked Dan about the World Juniors and the Top Prospects games, how they're sort of one-offs. I think the Combine is a little bit of a one-off, because it's not like the scouts don't get to talk to these guys in season. They can go to Rimouski and talk to Lafreniere. They can go to Sudbury and talk to Quentin Byfield and get to know him better, and go to Erie and talk to Jamie Drysdale. You know, they can get to know these guys outside of the Combine. So they, you know, it's just, I think with the Combine, it's a chance for your general manager to come in and meet these guys and put faces with names that they've only seen on lists and get to sort of be in person, because the general managers don't really get to do that in season. So you lose that in-person, shake the guy's hand, look him in the eye kind of thing. Now you got to do it, you know, over Skype, over, you know, video conference, however, you know, the teams are choosing to do it. So I think you lose that. But you're still going to get the medical reports, whether it's from their junior team, from an independent doctor, from whomever. All the general managers, all the scouting directors are going to have that. The testing, as we talked about, from the top the CHL prospects game, the USA hockey prospects game. It's going to be a little different, but again, it's where we are right now. And I think teams are going to do as best they can. We got a lot of smart scouts. We got a lot of smart scouting directors out there.
The bottom line, Adam, is that, you know, it kind of puts everyone on an even playing ground right now, right? As far as scouting and the number of views that you've had seen these players, maybe the number of times you've spoken to these players. There's been less views with fewer, you know, no playoff games, but the staffs have been out there. They've worked hard. They've got good view, good opinion of these players. So I think the NHL clubs are in a good place as far as putting together, you know, what they need. You know, what they want to acquire to help their pipelines in the future.
And I think we're in a good place as far as NHL draft class and NHL draft content on NHL.com. We're going to have mock drafts on Monday, April 13th. You can go over to NHL.com and see those. And we're still going to have our regular Thursday prospect feature. Mike Caden Gooley from Prince Albert is up there today. If you go on the site, who else do we can we let fans look forward to was as seeing, you know, getting some in-depth look at some individual prospects here?
Oh, well, we'll have plenty of prospects features to look forward to. We'll have maybe the top 10 defensemen, forwards, goaltenders that we'll be listing as we draw closer to the draft day, whenever that might be. So there's going to be plenty of content up there, Adam, for fans to get a hold of and to chew on as we get closer or draw closer to the draft.
That'll do it for NHL Draft Class Virtual Edition. Mike, glad we were able to get together and do this.
Always, Adam. Stay home, stay safe, and catch you next time.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, everyone.